John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, to a woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God is spirit. He's not Assemblies of God. He's not Baptist, he's not Anglican, and he's not Brethren. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I'd like to share with you on the subject of worship. We've been sharing on that for a little while, and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. If it's not, you can always sing a song. Hallelujah. Last week we spoke on two women. One was a leader, the other one was a follower. And praise God, let's just speak on worship. Worship is an attitude. Worship is not something that you do. Worship is something that you are. Worship is not an act. Worship is an attitude. Hallelujah. And here, the woman of Samaria was a worshiper, but she worshiped God as an act. To her, worship was a place where you go on a Sunday morning or where you go on a particular day, and you worship God in that place. And Jesus said, "Lady, you're going to understand that it's neither that place or the other place. It's neither that way or this way. It's in spirit and it's in truth." And when your attitude is right, you can worship God with a shout, or you can worship God with silence. You can shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, or you can be still and know that I'm God. One is not wrong, the other one is not right. They are both right, and they are both wrong. If the attitude is wrong, I don't care if the Bible says shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. When you shout with the wrong attitude, shut up. Why? Because it's not the shout, it's not the form, it's not how loud the music is, or how soft the music, it's not how fast or slow, it's the attitude of our hearts. And you may sing the right song, you may have the right tone, you may have this and that, but if the attitude of your heart is not right, it is not accepted. Hallelujah. Say amen. And when the attitude is right, it's an amazing thing. David said to the Lord when David fell, he said, "God, I could give you an offering, I could give you a sacrifice, but that's not what you're looking for." Now that's an amazing concept and an amazing thing for David to say. You're not looking for a sacrifice, because the whole economy of the Old Testament is sacrifices. Anybody sins, you sacrifice. It doesn't matter what you do, you sacrifice. But when David sinned, he said, it's not what you want. You desire truth in the inward parts, and it's not a sacrifice that you want. If it was, I'll give you every bullock in the whole of Israel. But what you're looking for is a contrite heart, a broken spirit, the attitude. When the attitude is right, I can offer you 5 bullocks or 1, 1 million bullocks or 1/2 a bullock. When the attitude is right, it's accepted. And when your attitude to God is right, you can worship in any church. You can worship in a Presbyterian church. You can worship in an Anglican church. There's no form that is right or wrong. It has to do with the attitude of your heart. Hallelujah. And when you know that, even though you're not used to shouting, you'll shout. And even though you're not used to being silent, you will be silent. Because it's not the shout or the silence. It's an attitude. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in hearts. It didn't say blessed are the churchgoers. He didn't say blessed are the born again ones. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. And you will see God everywhere when your heart is right. You say, God, Pastor. No. If your heart is pure, you will see God in a sign at the side of the road. You will see God in an ad in the TV. You will see God everywhere. Why? Because God can speak. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God can speak through anything. But when your heart is pure, you will see that. But if it's not, it's just another sign. Hallelujah. We're driving up to New Plymouth. I just had a call from somebody what's the name of the place? Tararua. And he said, Pastor, we want you to come and speak at a hui. And I said, give me a break. Where is the hui? At Hicks Bay. And I said, this was Wednesday, and he wanted me to come in the weekend. I said, I don't know if I can come. I said, Pastor, would you please just consider it before God? And that's dangerous. Would you just please consider it before God? And I said, oh, dear me. And somebody was going to New Plymouth at the time. My daughter-in-law was at the nursing school in New Plymouth. And her father said, I'm going to see Carmel. And I said, you want to come? I said, oh, okay. And we were going up. And I was thinking about, hui, Lord, shall I go to Hicks Bay or not? And I knew God wanted me to go, but I just wanted to make sure. But the short notice, it was almost impossible. I mean, you can't. And we were going, we stopped in Hawera, and it was drizzling, it was raining, it was quite cloudy, it was a winter day. And we were going past in the car. And I normally would read the signs at the side of the road. If you travel with me, you will be very, very annoyed. I will see a sign and I'll sing a song about that sign. Then we'll see, find another sign, then I'll change the song to that sign. Then I'll change the song to the next sign. So I'm used to looking at signs at the side of the road, but I couldn't see any sign. It was cloudy, it was foggy, it was raining. And I was still looking at the signs, nothing. I saw this sign. You know what it says? Hicks Park. And I thought, we went. It was amazing. It was a magnificent conference. It was an outstanding. But the point is, when your heart is right, God can speak to you anywhere. Hallelujah. Because you will see God when the attitude of your heart is right. And when you worship God from within. Give me your heart. The wise man said, son, give me your heart. And when your heart is handed over to God, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord will turn the heart whichever way he wants, the same way he turns the rivers and the creeks. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord in spirit. And in truth, right heart, because worship is not an act. Worship is not something you do. Worship is the attitude of your heart. You will know what to do when the attitude is right. You know, it's amazing to me that God can feel very at home in a Pentecostal church as much as he feels at home in an Anglican church. I will go to a mainline church and sit there, and God will speak to me. I will hear from God. Some people are so biased to the form that they think, well, that was a dead service. I've never been to a dead service where Jesus is. Jesus is the author of life. If he turns up, it's life. But the attitude has to be right. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. Life flows from within. A lot of people, well, life comes from the school. No. You can be the most educated kid and still be stupid. Life comes from within. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart life will flow. Say amen. Hallelujah. Worship is a relationship, not an exercise. It has to do with your relationship with God. Amen. And you have to develop that relationship because worship is about a relationship. Now, many of you, you know we're having a building project. And when you give to a project, most human beings don't. You can shout until the cows come home about giving to a project. Most people will just sit there. They have no concept of what's going on. They may have a lot of money, but they will never give to a project. You know why? Because it's separate from them. They can't identify with it because they can't relate to a project the same way they relate to a human being. Now, if we take up an offering for a visiting speaker, most people will tip the offering. Is that right? Why do you tip the offering? Because you don't know the guy. But if you were to meet him and give him an offering person to person, it'll always be greater than the offering that you put in the offering bag. How? Why? Because now you relate to him. That's why when two friends go to McDonald's, they can spend up to $60, $100 at McDonald's, but they can't give $10 in the church. Why? Because at McDonald's, it's a relationship. They go there with a friend, and them, their relationship, it gives them more power to spend more on themselves because it's a relationship. And when they come to church, they will just tip Jesus because they can't see him and they're trying to grapple with the fact that they believe in God, but what kind of relationship? But when you know God, know God, know God, know God, you will give to him. Now, how do you give to a building project? Judah, come here, grandson. This is my grandson. This is the eldest of my grandchildren. His name is Judah Eliafi. Now, why am I building that building? Is it for me? No. Is it for him? And the moment I relate that, I can give to the building, not because I have a relationship with the building, but the relationship with the building is through the relationship with my grandson. Because I'm doing it for his sake. As long as you give to the building just as a project, you will never give. You'll just wait for somebody else to build it. But if you know it's for your children and your grandchildren and your children's children's children, then you will relate to the project the same way you relate when you take a friend to McDonald's. And then you will give. But until you relate to it, it's just a project. If it's built, bless God. If it's not, I'm still here. I've got bills to pay. Hello? Thank you. Are you all right? Say amen. You know what that is? It's called worship. Relationship. It has to do with relationship. And worship is a relationship, not a ritual. And when your relationship with God is right, You can't help but worship. You can't help but give. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength, my rock, my refuge. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 my right hand. It shall not come nigh me. Because I've set my heart, you set my heart on Him. He will deliver me. Hallelujah. With long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. But it has to do with our relationship with God. Hallelujah. And when you understand that relationship, you can't help but worship. You can't help but give. Because giving and worshiping God has to do with what you've got, not what you are going to give up. And when you know what God has done, when you know what you've got, because worshipers respond from what they've got. If you don't do that, you will always just worship as a reactor. When things are going well, when things are not going well. But when you know what you've got, you will worship the Lord. And it doesn't matter how much you give. You can give all. You don't care because it has to do with what you've got. Why did the woman at the well leave her water pot? She came to get water. When she left the water pot. She went back to the village empty-handed. She left everything at the well. Hallelujah. Why did she leave that at the well? Because of what she's got. Come see a man that has told me everything I've ever done. Her need is no longer now the focus. The focus now is the man at the well. And when you know what you've got, your focus is no longer on yourself. Your focus is on somebody else. Why? Because you know what you've got. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife just gave me a ring for my birthday about 2 weeks ago. And she said, "Where is it?" I've got a lot of rings. I hardly wear them. And it cost her a lot. Now, why was she able to give away so much money for a ring? Is it for the ring? No. It's because of what she's got. Not the money that she's got, but the man that she's got. You know what that is? That's worship. And worship is a response because of what you've got, not a response because of what you give up. When you know what you've got, you can give up the world. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. What is that? He's found the cross and the whole world means nothing because she's found the cross. And when you find and you know what you've got, you can respond so lavishly. Hallelujah. That's why a prostitute came to the house of a Pharisee with an offering that surpasses anybody's imagination. And Jesus said to her, "Lady, wherever the gospel goes, you will go." Why? Said to Simon, "Simon, I'll give you a story. Two people had debt to one that they owed debt to. One was $50, the other one was $5 million. They couldn't pay it back, so the man forgave the debt. Who loves the man more?" He said, "The one that was forgiven more." He said, "You see this woman? Even though I'm in your house, even though I'm eating your food, even though you invite me as a guest, this woman whose house is not even this house, this woman loves me more than you. You may have Jesus in your house. It doesn't mean you love Jesus more. You may be curious about Jesus. But when you know, here's a woman who found a man who never looked at her with lust. Found a man who accepted her, not condemned her for a lifestyle, came to understand the love of a real man. And when she came lavishly and brought the alabaster jar and broke it and poured it on his feet. The Bible says it was so beautiful, the whole place was filled with a fragrance. Many of you ladies have beautiful perfumes, but your perfume will not fill, the fragrance of it will not fill your house. You know how much the perfume cost? A whole year's wage. She spent it in one offering. Why? She found something. It was a response from a heart that knows what she's got. Are you okay? Why did Abraham give up his son? I mean, he lived for the boy, he longed for the boy, he prayed for the boy, he raised the boy, he even fell into sin because he wanted the boy. And when God asked him to give up his son, he said, yes, sir. How? Why? Because of what he's got. It was a response from Abraham's heart because of what he's got. You know what God said to Abraham? Abraham, everyone can have their shield. They may be made of leather or made of bronze or made of brass, whatever. But you don't have a shield. I'm your shield. Everywhere you go, I'm your shield. And I'm your exceeding great reward. No one can touch you because the God of heaven and earth is your shield. I'm your shield and exceeding great reward. And out of what he got, Abraham responded in worship. You know, tithing is worship. Tithing is probably one of the most controversial subjects in all the ages of the church. And people in the secular media get on, oh, the church is taking people's money. Why do you tithe? It's a response of worship for what you've got. Abraham's shield was so powerful that Abraham went to pursue four kings with four armies with just an old man and 318 servants. 318 pursuing four armies with kings that war every year. They are skilled soldiers. And here comes an old man on his donkey, on his mule. And the only army he had were the servants that he raised and his sons in his own house. 318 of them. And he came and defeated them. How? Because God's his shield. And then he gave tithe. The first tither mentioned in the Bible was the first worshiper mentioned in the Bible. He said to his servants, you stay here, me and the boy are going to worship. I'm going to worship. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I'm going to kill my boy. He didn't say, I'm going to sacrifice my son. He didn't say, I'm going to give my son as an offering. He said, me and the boy are going to worship. Why? It's a response from a heart that knows what he's got. And when he defeated the four armies, here comes a very mysterious man and gave it something to him. And out of response to that, he gave the man tithes. What did he get? What did he get? He got communion. What is communion? Has to do with the cross. And when he received communion, he responded by giving tithes of everything. Why? He recognized the Lord of heaven and earth is the one that protected him. And he responded out of that relationship and responded out of what he's got. Hallelujah. Worship is a response. It's not a reaction. It's a response of what you've got. It's a response of awe. When you know the greatness of God, how great is our God, He can't help but respond. Here comes a minister who used to the presence of God, and he went to church to pray one day, and he saw God in the church, high and lifted up, and his train filled the church, the train of his robe. And angels were, seraphims were flying around and worshiping God, and he realized, this is an awesome, righteous, magnificent God. And said, who am I? Woe is me. I am undone. I'm an unclean man that live under with unclean people with unclean lips. I've seen the glory of the Lord. And God said, I'm looking for somebody. He said, I'm here. What is that? It's a response. What is that? It's worship. Worship is a response from a pure heart. It's a response. It's an attitude from a heart that knows what they've got. And Jesus said to the woman, if you only knew the gift of God. If you only knew the gift of God. What is the gift of God? In the context of that story, what is the gift that Jesus was talking about? If you only knew the gift of God, you would have asked me and I would have given you living. The gift was water. The woman was coming for water. Jesus said, God has a gift and it has to do with water. And the water is not in there, the water is in here. Hallelujah. You will ask him, and he would have given you not water, but living water. Water that is alive. And when that water is alive, it will flow. He that believes, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Not a river, not a trickle, not a bucket full, not a tap. Rivers of living water. They are alive. Hallelujah. And when the heart attitude is right, when the motive is right, when the heart is guarded with purity, everything that flows out is alive. And that is called worship. Hallelujah. When you know who you are and you know who He is, Isaiah saw Him. Then Isaiah saw himself, and then he responded. When Moses was encountered, Moses saw him. Moses saw himself, and then he responded. It does not matter who it is. When you know what you've got, you can't help but worship. Our problem many times is we don't know what we've got. We can't see what we've got. The prodigal thought he knew what he's got. So he got what he asked to get. Then he went away and he realized, hello? And when he came back, what was that? He came back when he knew what he got. And he came back in worship. And he said, don't make me a servant. Don't make me a son. Make me a hired servant. When that came back, the Father said, everything's yours. Hallelujah. Somebody was probably sitting here this morning. He said, what has that song got to do with? That's not even a Christian song. Well, it became a Christian song this morning. Why? Because to the pure, everything is pure. It has to do with your heart. And when your heart is right, I remember the first time we had a haka in the church. I got more letters because of that haka than anything else. And some of the tonal, I can't believe this. Fancy having a haka in the church. If your heart is wrong and you have a haka in the church, you think the church is demonized. But if your heart is right, so I preach. We got back from England and I preach. And a lot of people go to a Maori pa, a Maori marae, and they see some carvings and, ooh, are you afraid of carvings? Are you afraid of carvings? Are you afraid of statues? Well, don't go to Madame what's in heaven. And don't go there. You know why? There are idols there. Hello? Let me say this about statues. A statue is a statue, whether it's made of wax or timber or brass. It's still a statue. Now, sometimes there are certain statues we like because of our cultural perspective. And everything you don't understand is a demon. We got back from England, and I said, some of you are scared of going into a marae. And I go into a cathedral in England, and you wouldn't get a Maori going in there. I said, why? I said, they bury bodies in there. They won't worship in there. They've got dead bodies in there. And they got statues in there. I said, what? Well, they got statues in there. You made iron, but still statues. I think sometimes we need to understand the context of where we come from and what we've got to be able to learn to worship. And I said to the church, if we sing an opera here, everybody will. But if we have a haka here. And then I said something they didn't like. I said, I hate opera. My wife loves opera. I'm beginning to like opera now, so long as it's done in a different language. Now, there are people who don't believe in speaking in tongues, but they go to an opera. Then I said something, and I think it set some people free. I said, what's the difference between an opera and a haka in a church? It's just from your different cultural perspective. You understand because you relate to the other and not relate to one. But when the heart is right, you'll find that God is black. You will find that God is Zimbabwean. God is Maori. God is European. Because we are made by the same God. We are made in His image. And not one culture can present that image. Truly, we are all incomplete. We need one another. None of us has got it all together, but all of us together have got it all. When we know that, we respond in reverence and awe and worship and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. God bless you.